problems that we have in the black community, and we've been talking about them all night, if those don't get fixed before we got the money will not fix them.
No.
I don't believe that. If this decisiveness and black women don't like black men and we ain't talking to each other and we don't care about that, money ain't going to change that. All it is probably going to push us further because now, I got money. I don't need you. I can go whatever, do whatever I want.
I just think it's real interesting that we as black people can really easily talk about what money won't fix when we ain't never had money to fix nothing. So after we get it and it don't work, then I'll feel you. But up until that point, I can't agree. I want to see that first.
But giving money is not. We get money, and then what does that do?
We get
the kids who
this.
Are spoiled don't change.
We made this. For this entire society, and we've got this.
I will say this, Mike. I will say this. I have yet to see any community, the Japanese, the Jews, whomever has received some level of money. I mean, and we're talking about the Native Americans catching a check every month. Whatever social issues they had still exist. Money does not repair those things at all. So that would be my stance on it. I mean, I feel you, but I don't see money being the Band-Aid for that.
We have buying power now. We just don't use it. Yeah.
We don't use it properly.
We have buying power and wealth is two different things, though. Buying power and wealth.
We could have wealth if our buying power was different.
No, but see, you can use it to build wealth though if you get capital to start with.
The thing is, we could have wealth.
Chicken, use it on chicken.
But I'm not gonna do that.
But honestly,
I'm not gonna do that. Are you gonna do that? You're gonna buy a whole bunch. That's my argument stands, right?
On a purely realistic sense, though, do you honestly see it working that way? That it would be this massive amount of money that would change lives. Like, let's be honest. If we're putting this in the hands of the quote-unquote government, okay, they would break it down to whatever that amount would have been back then, how much it would have been, break it down by how many black people are now, which are how many more black people now than back then. It would probably be probably insulting when it did come down to it.
Can't do that. It can't do that.
It would interest. Never be what you're imagining.
It could be because this is what we have to understand, right? This is what we have to understand.
It's never going to happen.
Government's doing the right thing.
It's not the right thing. It doesn't matter about right and wrong. What matters is governments and corporations married, right? So if us as black people can understand that we can apply pressure that way by deciding where we spend our money, we can make them do all kind of shit.
Without reparations, we could do that, too.
No, we can start. That's what I'm saying. We can start that now.
Right. Absolutely.
That's how you set the precedent. That's how you let them know, like, oh, no, until this happens, we're doing X, Y, and Z. We're not, you know, and it's not an easy thing to accomplish, but I'm saying that's where it starts. And once you apply that pressure... You can dictate all kind of things. This is a capitalist society. Where you spend your money is your vote. That's
we would still be a group of mentally poor people. That's the problem.
I think it absolutely is.
It's not when like 1% of the whole country owns like 90%.
No, but
it's so out of balance now that to consider that it would be a fair
thing. But it's a capitalist society where only certain people are winning, but it's still a capitalistic society. That's right.
That's the theory.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. I'm not an economist or whatever, so I'm not going to argue that. I just, to me, the way that it's like you're approaching it like it would be something fair, I guess. And I'm saying I don't see why it would ever be. Nothing has ever been fair. That's never happened.
I'm not saying it's about fairness. I'm saying it's about the power of what you choose to do with the money that you have. And that dictates other power.
Like, and that will also require us to somehow all get on the same page about that. And that, for me, that's where it starts. And we're so not there. So it would be a need for black folks to have the sort of conversations that we're having now, make decisions about how we're going to spend our money and actually commit to that and not have an individualized, well, I just am going to do what I want to do for me because I care about me, but actually think about the fact that, wow, if we all do work this way, that there is strength in numbers and we can actually make change happen.
Right. But I think we have to get past the point of being mentally poor, because you can have all the money in the world, but if we're mentally poor, and understand, mentally poor is not just contained in the ghetto. Mentally poor is seen in affluent neighborhoods where you think because you are educated and you've read every African American history book
that
you're
you
power to the people, you got it. That's still mentally poor because you only see the world from the affluent black child's perspective. And I think that's the issue that needs to be discussed. And then action needs to take place, because I look at what many of us do every day in the world of education. I could give them millions of dollars. That is not going to eradicate the mental poorness that's in that community that makes my students think it's okay to love dancing and jigabooing and getting dressed up and not reading and writing fluently and not knowing that you're being compared to people way beyond the perimeters of what. So to discuss reparations and say we had a million, to me, is like, mogus, because the real conversation should be about our children and those of us beyond the children that are mentally poor. That's the issue there, because money is not going to eradicate any of that.
It's not going to change anything. And part of having mental strength as a group is being able to work together. And that's something that we've had a challenge doing that ever since we've been here, seemingly.
What we need to understand as a people, and we keep going in this direction, in that the assumption that we are all the same and that we all have to be on the same page is a bunch of bull crap.
Right.
Nobody in any other culture is on the same page.
But they all have some understanding about having their paper right.
One of the things that I see exercised across cultures and amongst cultures is that the reticence, is that the stuff that's not so positive, they have the ability to either sweep it under the rug or keep quiet about it. You know,
there's a united social front.
Right.
But as individuals, they do what they do.
Right, and we understand that. And we have a tendency as a people to broadcast and make for public show all our negativities. And so we end up on the world stage, and the opportunity for everyone to see us act a fool is there. You know, I have a friend who is from Liberia, and he told me the strangest thing. He said, you know, you're unlike any African-American I know. I said, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? You know, he said, well, you know, in Liberia, the United States puts out propaganda about American blacks through the host there. Mm-hmm. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they distribute propaganda about American blacks, and so when we get here, we already have an established belief about what to expect and who you are. And he said, you totally, you know, defeat that. And I said, are you serious? And I said, well, how recent are you talking? He said, past 10 years. Yeah. You know, he said, they'll do a drop of flyers, you know, similar to what Hitler did in World War II, and still have the
pictures on there,
you know, the Sambo pictures, the minstrels and things like that. And then when they get here and what they see on the news perpetualizes that, you know, not to say that that's the case, because it's not, you know, look who's in this room. Look at all the intelligible opinions that are being offered today. We know that that's not the case, but we are, we have allowed ourselves to be pimped. You know,
and I would argue that, well, not even argue, I would say that part of us being disjointed is why that's possible. And
even those cultures that are that we view to be successful are disjointed, but we don't have to expose that.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. If I'm in a battle and you hit me, if you know I'm hurt, then you know, if you hit me in the face and you know that you stung me, then you know to keep hitting that wound. And eventually, that's what's going to make me fall. But if you hit me in my eye and I'm hurt and I don't let you know I'm hurt, then the likelihood that you'll be able to play upon that wound is less.
And that in and of itself shows a level of unity in their groups that we don't have. That's what I'm saying.
We need to move toward that, you know, the hushness, you know. I operate in a community, you know, that's business-like, and I have people on a daily basis, because I'm not noticeably black, ask me, what's your heritage? I go Jewish communities, Persian communities. I can pretty much fit in wherever I go.
Right.
You know, with the exception of being Asian.
Right.
You know, and sometimes I play on it. Right. You know, people ask me, what is your heritage? Where are you from? I'm a descendant of American slaves. Do you understand what that means? And no, they don't. First of all, I am an American. I'm the quintessential American. Motherfucker, you're not American, but I'm American. You know? And so let's first understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I'm not an immigrant.
Right.
Because the suggestion there is that me coming here was voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the third thing is that when you ask me my heritage, I can only tell you so much about my heritage, because it was taken away from me involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And so let's talk about that. And so these African-American, black, Negro. No, I'm a descendant of American slaves. You know, and I need some money, for real.
And on that note.
Thank you really... again for joining us. Oh, sorry. I was going to wrap it. So thank you, Darius. To me, you summed it up. Because that's who we are, descendants of American slaves. And on that, we do deserve some sort of, I don't know if it should come in the form of a check, but we do deserve something. So with that, thank you for joining us for this 33-minute Black History Friday. Peace.